Kazunori Nakayama from Tokyo.
And it will tell us something about a very different wave background as a probe of reheating temperature of the universe.
Thank you. Today I talk about probing reheating temperature of the universe with gravitational wave background. First, as an introduction, here I show a schematic picture of the thermal history of the universe. Here, the vertical axis is the total energy density of the universe as a function of the cosmic scale factor n. During inflation, the total energy density of the universe almost remains constant. And after inflation, the inflaton begins to oscillate coherently around its potential minima, and which behave as a non-relativistic matter. And then at some epoch, the inflaton decays and reheats the universe with the reheating temperature denoted by Tr. Then the hot summer universe begins, the hot summer universe dominated by the radiation begins. Eventually, at some epoch, cold dark matter begins to dominate the universe. And of course, the present universe is dominated by the dark matter. So this is a standard picture of the summer history of the universe. But it is only this epoch, after Big Bang nuclear synthesis, which we understand that was theoretically under observation. On the other hand, this epoch between inflation and the EVN is poorly understood, at least from observation. So the motivation of this work is to probe this epoch observationally, in particular to determine the reheating temperature of the universe. The idea is very simple. It is very known that the cosmic background photons can only come from the last scattering surface located at the redshift around 1000. And we cannot directly record the universe with the redshift larger than the 1000. Even the cosmic background neutrinos cannot be used as a probe of the very early universe before Big Bang nuclear synthesis, because even neutrinos strongly coupled with nucleons in such a high temperature environment. Then, how to explore this epoch before Big Bang nuclear synthesis? The answer is to use gravitational wave. In principle, the universe is transparent to gravitational waves up to the Planck epoch, so we can directly look over the universe by observations of gravitational waves. In this talk, I focus on the stochastic gravitational wave background generated during the inflation as a source of the gravitational wave background. Okay, before I go into detail, I want to briefly explain why determining the reheating temperature is important. I think it has two important aspects. First, from a cosmological point of view, it connects some history of the universe between inflation and EVN. Second, from particle physics point of view, some particle physics models can be paper constrained or even excluded if the reheating temperature of the universe is determined observationally. For example, in supersymmetry, there exists a Grabkin problem, and there exists a cosmological problem called the Grabkin problem, which gives a stringent upper bound of the reheating temperature. Another issue is the baryogenesis mechanism, which creates matter antimatter asymmetry of the universe. And many baryogenesis mechanism is known to be dependent on the reheating temperature in order to create correct amount of matter-antimatter asymmetry of the universe. For example, in the standard thermal reptogen scenario, we need the reheating temperature rather than about 10 to 90. So determining the reheating temperature of the universe observationally is very important. Okay, now let us move to the gravitational waves. Gravitational wave is described by the tensor part of the metric perturbation, H by J. It has two physical degrees of freedom, and each degree of freedom can be regarded as massless scalar in the digital background, and it can be quantized in the similar in a similar manner to the case of the inflaton during the equation. So as a result, we obtain the spectrum of the gravitational wave background generated during the equation as this equation. And this has an almost scale invariant spectrum. And the amplitude of the gravitational wave is also conveniently parameterized by the tensor scalar ratio, which is defined by the power spectrum of the gravitational waves divided by the spectrum of the curvature perturbation. And this quantity is known to be equal to 16 times the Schroeder parameter stock. And since the Schroeder parameter must be much smaller than one for Schroeder equation, so the value of the tensor to scalar ratio is expected to be smaller than one. So this provides an initial condition of the gravitational wave background generated during the equation. And after the equation, the evolution of the gravitational wave is described by this simple equation. And the solution of this equation shows that when the corresponding model lies outside the horizon, the amplitude remains constant. And on the other hand, once the corresponding model enters the horizon, the amplitude decreases inversely proportional to the scale factor. So the different mode enters the horizon at different epoch. So the resulting gravitational wave spectrum observed now is deviating from the initial scale invariant one. So the energy density of the gravitational waves per horizontal frequency can be written in this form. Here, A in K denotes the scale factor at which the corresponding model enters the horizon. And this part depends on the thermal history or the equation of the state of the universe at that epoch. So the important part is that thermal history of the universe is imprinted in the gravitational wave background spectrum. For example, for the mode which enters the horizon in the matter-dominated era, the energy density of the gravitational waves proportional to the to k to the minus 2. And for the mode which enters the horizon in the radiation-dominated era, the energy density of the gravitational waves is proportional to the constant. This is a schematic picture. Here I showed half horizon scale as a function of the scale factor A. For example, consider this mode. This long wavelength mode enters the horizon during matter-dominated layer. And higher frequency mode. This mode, this kind of mode, enters the horizon during radiation dominated era. And even higher frequency mode enters the horizon during the infraton oscillation dominated era. For example, if the reheating temperature is around 10 to 6 dB, the gravitational wave is a mode larger than, is a mode, its frequency larger than 0.026 Hz and does a horizon during the infraton oscillation dominated era. So this is a resulting gravitational wave background spectrum. present is a very important step. And the horizontal axis is the present frequency of the gravitational wave. And the vertical axis is the density of the gravitational wave per logarithmic frequency. Here I show the gravitational wave spectra with tensor to scalar range 0.1 and 0.001. And also I show gravitational wave spectra is reaching temperature 10 to 5 CV and 10 to 9 CV. And these dashed lines represent the future sensitivity of the future space-based laser interferometer experiments. The cycle and the correlation analysis of the cycle and the ultimate model of the cycle and the ultimate model of the correlation analysis of the ultimate design. The cycle is run future space-based interferometer experiments in Japan, whose mission concept is similar to the BBO. And as we can see from this figure, the overall normalization of the gravitational wave background is determined by the tensor to scalar ratio. And this bending point is determined by the radiating temperature here. So if this shape of the spectrum will be observed by these experiments, we can determine the radiating temperature of the universe for the patient. And the tensor to scalar range R will be, if we are lucky, the tensor to scalar range R will be measured by interesting the polarization experiments. And if so, we can extrapolate on. We can extrapolate the gravitational wave background spectrum to the lower frequency, which is relevant for the direct detection experiments. So this is very, very interesting. But in order to discuss the actual detection possibility, we must take into account the astrophysical foreground. And the dominant background comes from the merger of the white dwarf binary. And it is known that the gravitational wave from the white dwarf binary is completely stochastic, which means that there are too many white dwarf binary in the sky. So this contribution cannot be removed and cannot be distinguished from the signal. So we must take into account this contribution as a noise. And as a result, we obtain this kind of future sensitivity for the radiating temperature here. Here, the horizontal axis is the radiating temperature here, and the vertical axis is the tensor to scalar ratio. This light blue region shows the region where the gravitational wave background can be detected. And this blue region corresponds to the region where the value of the radiating temperature can be detected. And as I said, the future CME polarization experiments may detect non-zero value of the tensor to scalar ratio bar around this region. So if future CME polarization experiments will detect non-zero value of the tensor to scalar ratio bar, we have a chance to determine or constrain the radiating temperature of the universe from observation. Finally, I want to briefly explain the implications of quantum physics. Yeah, I briefly repeat the Lorentzian problem. In supersymmetry, there exists Lorentzian, which is a superpartition of the graviton, whose interaction is suppressed by the Planck scale or the 3D plane scale. And if the graviton is unstable, the typical lifetime of the graviton is longer than the 1 second, and then it decays. So the decay of the graviton affects the success of the quantum processes. On the other hand, if the graviton is the lightest supersymmetric particle and stable, the graviton itself contributes to the present dark matter of the universe. And it is also known that the abundance of the graviton is proportional to the relative temperature here. So in order not to affect EVM or in order not to overcross the universe, we obtain the upper bound of the relative temperature. This figure summarizes the upper bound of the relative temperature as a function of the graviton mass for the case of stable graviton. This gray region is excluded from the sample production of the graviton. And here I also show that non-sample product produced contribution from the infraction decay. And it is known that the contribution from the infraction decay is inversely proportional to the relative temperature. So if we fix the inflation model, we obtain the lower bound of the relative temperature for each graviton mass. Let us consider the situation that the future accelerator experiments, such as LHC, will determine the graviton mass. This one, as shown by this one. Then what we want to know next is that whether the graviton LHC truly takes the role of the dark matter of the universe. But the interaction of the graviton is too weak, so we cannot detect directly or indirectly the graviton dark matter. Then it is important to know that the relative temperature of the universe, because the graviton abundance is determined by the relative temperature. And if in this case, future gravitational wave experiments determine the relative temperature of the universe as this provides strong evidence of the graviton dark matter scenario. This is the one application to the particle physics. Okay, now let me summarize my talk. Gravitational wave background provides a way to determine the relative temperature of the universe. And if we are lucky, we just see private experiments, it will reveal the non-zero value of the tensor to square ratio rather than 0.01 or 0.001. In this case, future gravitational wave experiments such as MESAIP or VLIO can determine or construct the relative temperature of the universe at this. And together with accelerator experiments, some particle physics will be stable or constrained. Okay, that's all. Thank you.
What is this gravitational wave mission that you were referring to? I mean, what is this upcoming experiment? Not upcoming experiment, but it's probably in distant future. What kind of
that's probably depends on the experimentary efforts. But the earliest possible long year of the disciple. Maybe around 20, 25, or 20
2030? It's pretty futuristic.
You showed these plots that you will be sensitive to determinable heating temperature if it is above a certain value. Can you say it once more why you will not be able to see smaller values of the heating temperature? Is this easy to understand?
Okay. If the heating temperature is too small, the gravitational wave spectrum goes as this. So this is not going to be difficult.
Good. Any other questions? If not, let's thank our speaker again.